Thank you for tuning in to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible on KEQX 89.7. The views, opinions, beliefs, and content expressed on the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible are the sole production of the Harrison Moore Expedition and its agents. The views, opinions, and belief expressed on this show may not be the same as those of KEQX or any of its agents. This show is brought to you by the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas, and the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas.
Good morning and welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. My name is Tom Moore, and I'm with my good friend David Harris today from the Park Heights Church of Christ in Stephenville. Or I said, let me back up there. I got two together. Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, where I preach, and the Hillcrest Church of Christ, where David preaches there in Stephenville. And David's having a little bit of voice problems today, so if he sounds like he has a deep baritone voice, he'll try to work his way through the program tonight, but I know we'll have something tonight that's going to be beneficial to you and something you'll be interested in. And remember that this is a live call-in talk show, and so if you'd like to call in tonight, and if you have any questions or comments you'd like to make, call us at 254-445-2473. Or if you prefer, you can email us at keqx@rocketmail.com. Now, last week we were studying and talking about the theory, and I mentioned theory and false theory of evolution. And we talked about how this was something that's very widespread. And most people today, well, they have learned about the theory of evolution at some point in their life. You get taught this theory in high school and elementary, and even sometimes as far down as kindergarten. But most people do not know the details behind this theory, who proposed it, or the evidences that they claim are behind it. And if anyone stops to take a look at this so-called evidence, they are going to realize that much, and I believe all of it, is not evidence at all, but simply a combination of various assumptions and wishful thinking. Now, throughout the centuries, scientists have always argued that life on Earth came from, or they argue where it came from. But the creationists, on the other hand, believe that it was created by God. Genesis chapter 1 says that, well, what does Genesis 1 say?
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
And tonight we're introducing our new speaker, David Harris, and his voice. We'll see how he holds up tonight. But people who do not believe that there's a God find the idea of life being created by a superior being, well, really unthinkable. And so people have been forced to try to think of some other possibility other than creation because, well, David, they simply do not want to believe in God, do they?
Well, that's true. And atheism is behind this theory of evolution from the beginning. And when people understand that, they will understand the importance of what we're talking about tonight. Because as we mentioned last week, Tom, many people have been, and as you just mentioned, been exposed to this theory of evolution. It has always been thrown out there as a fact. The reason it is, you can argue this. I mean, a lot of people say, no, they always tell you it's a theory, but they do not give you another option.
Yes.
It's the only option that you get. Well, if a theory is the only option that you get, it becomes a fact by process of elimination. And so this is all that people have heard all of their lives. Now, two or three, four generations in, we have people who have been molded by this theory of evolution. And atheism is behind it all. They have got to prove that there is no God in order for this creationism to take place. Now, we talked a little bit about theistic evolution last week. And in that theistic evolution argument that they have, we have shown that you cannot be consistent and what the Bible says, and believe in that theistic evolution that is promoted by evolutionists out there. Why don't you explain to us a little bit about this theory of evolution and why it is so important for us?
Well, in the 1800s, Scientists normally examined rocks and fossils or the fossil record to try to determine exactly how life came into existence. And at that time, several scientists proposed different theories of evolution which they felt could explain the existence of our world today. But the most notable of these men is a man by the name of Charles Darwin, and probably most everybody has heard of this man, Charles Darwin. Well, Charles Darwin then devised a theory back in 1859, which stated that there is always going to be a struggle for existence among living creatures, and that only the fittest are going to survive. Well, in addition, he stated that nature, over long periods of time, gradually selects and promotes features of increasing complexity and usefulness for survival. He called that built-in feature natural selection. And we're going to talk more about that in just a moment. But scientists who do not believe in the creation point of view, that is, that God created all things, were quick to adopt this new theory of evolution, because really they had nothing else at that time. And so the battle began between the creationist and the evolutionist. And by the year 1900, this new theory was well accepted by a large number of scientists, and the battle between both sides was now ongoing. And so really, David, the basis behind all of this, as we've mentioned and emphasized time and time again, is that atheism is behind it, because they simply do not want to believe in God. And as a result of that, they come up with all kinds of strange ideas as to why or how our world came into existence.
Well, that's very true. And there's a couple of things that you pointed out there just a moment ago. Number one is wise men, or those who have stamped themselves to be wise men, They have believed in this because other wise men before them had believed in this theory of evolution.
Yes.
And also, you've got to have millions and millions, if not billions and billions of years, for this incremental change of evolution to take place. And we're going to talk about that a little bit also in just a moment. But as we pointed out last week, the world, the earth as we know it, the earth and the universe as it is according to the Bible, is around 10,000 years old,
yes.
give or take a year or two. I don't know just exactly when, it's around the 10,000. It's nowhere close to a million, not even a million. And so we're not talking about the difference in a few years here and there. We're talking about the difference in eons of time, and they've got to have that in order to make this evolution take place. Now, just to give you an idea of how goofy, now that's a scientific term, some of these ideas are that some of these people have, the president, or the former president of the American Association for the Advancement of Atheism, said this. He says, quote, "In the beginning was matter, which begat the amoeba, which begat the worm, which begat the fish, which begat the amphibian, which begat the reptile, which begat the lower mammals, which begat the lemur, which begat the monkey, which begat man, who imagined God," and this is the genealogy of man. Now, other than goofy, I don't know what else to call that. I know it's a lie. And anybody that believes in the Bible knows that that's a lie. But this is the atheistic thought behind this evolution that we're talking about. There was another man who wrote, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." We just got through reading it just a moment ago. It's the first sentence of our Bible in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. This man was Moses, and he was inspired by God. And so now we're going to have to make a choice. Who's right?
That's right.
Is it going to be God and his word, or is it going to be man and his word? Mm-hmm. And this is the struggle, and this has always been the fight that we're talking about between evolution. But now evolution has got an unlevel playing field. As a matter of fact, they've got politics on their side, they've got law on their side, and they will not show the other side, which is creation. Mm-hmm. The Bible's account of God's creation of the world.
And as a result of this liberal lifestyle that we're having to live in now, they have leverage on us by allowing evolution to be taught in our schools and not allowing creationism to be taught. And all of our kids going through school, and we'll probably talk more about this as time allows, but all of our kids are going to school, they're being taught evolution, that's all they're being taught, and they're coming out believing it to be true because that's all that they have heard. And so that's causing great difficulty.
Extremely great difficulty. As a matter of fact, what atheism is saying is that man is an accident.
Yes.
He's an absolute accident that it just happened to happen that way through a series of evolutionary changes in that amoeba that this atheist talked about just a moment ago. But as we pointed out last week, when we teach this to our children, we are confusing them as to where they come from. And when you are confused about where you come from, you're going to be confused about who you are. And when you're confused about who you are, you're going to be confused about your home, your sexuality. And now we've got kids in grade school and junior high, and we brought this up in past shows, that come in and say, well, I may be homosexual. I may be bisexual. I may be transsexual. I may be some of a bunch of things that I never even heard about.
I may be a monkey.
Exactly. And I may need to marry a dog. and so this is the accidental product of evolution, is what they're saying here. And this is not God's teaching. And we read, and Genesis is so important, and we read in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. Now, Tommy, what mankind has that animals do not have are spiritual qualities that separate us from that which is below and links us to that which is above. And that would be God the Creator.
That's right. And the evolutionists would deny that. They're going to say we're nothing more than, well, they've even had books called The Naked Ape.
Right.
That's all they believe we are, is just simply an animal with no soul, no different than a dog, no different than a wild animal of the earth. And as a result of that, their ideas on the sanctity of life is changed and confused because they don't realize the preciousness of the soul of a human being.
Well, it's interesting that you bring that up, the preciousness of life, because what a lot of people put... Now, if you believe in evolution, you've got to be a follower of Charles Darwin.
Yes.
You cannot be a believer in evolution and not be a disciple of Charles Darwin. And Charles Darwin wrote many books, or more than one. And of some of these books that he wrote, what we have is a book called The Descent of Mankind. And in this book, in this Descent of Mankind, what we find out when we look at this is that this man is a racist, and a bad one at that. What I can't understand is why they don't teach what he taught about racism and about the races of the people at the same time that they talk about us evolving from an ape. Why don't they talk about that?
I know why they don't do it.
Why is that?
Because they'll get in big trouble.
Absolutely.
You know, they're going to lose their following, they're going to lose their clout, they're going to lose their leverage if they really taught what Darwin taught.
Right.
So that's the crux behind the whole deal.
Well, let's just expose some of Charles Darwin's literature that he wrote in this book, The Descent of Man, and we would encourage anyone to call in and to question this. We've got it all backed up from top to bottom. The number to call is 254-445-2473, or you can email us at keqx@rocketmail.com. Also, we'd like to encourage
you to allow anybody else that might be listening in the or would like to listen in the outside of the listening area of this radio station, you can go to www.harrisandmore.org. Harris, A-N-D, Moore, M-O-O-R-E.org. And just follow the instructions. It'll take you to the KOXE website, and you can log right in. What we're talking about here is the descent of man. We're talking about some of the things that Charles Darwin said. And according to our American scientist, this Charles Darwin is one of the intellectual giants that is revered in this country and all over the world.
Well, he's called the father of evolution by many.
The father of evolution. And so he's got this great theory of evolution, and both sides of the debate will agree that the greatest problem with this theory is the missing link. We ought to have a lot of missing links out there. If a pig evolved into a cow, there ought to be something out there in the in-between. And there is nothing. There is nothing out there. All of these years, 150 years of this evolutionary theory, and we have yet to find one single pig cow.
That's right. You know, when he was talking about this Descent of Man, the book that he wrote, and it's, well, called by many his greatest work, and I think it's an infamous work, not a great work.
Yes.
But Darwin here, he went to Africa. As Africa was being colonized and explored by the Europeans, and he begins to explain what he said was the savage link. And let me read a few things to you here. David can pitch in anytime he'd like. Here, Darwin is going to be talking about human engineering. And this is all behind and involved in this natural selection process that he has as one of his greatest so-called teachings. But he says here on pages 138 through 139 in the book, The Descent of Man, he says, with savages, the weak in body or mind are soon eliminated, and those that survive commonly exhibit a vigorous state of health. We civilized men, on the other hand, do our utmost to check the process of elimination. We build asylums for the imbecile, the maimed, the sick. We institute poor laws. And our medical men exert their utmost skill to save lives of everyone to the last moment. There is reason to believe, he says, that vaccination has preserved thousands who are a weak constitution who would formerly have succumbed to smallpox. Thus, he says, the weak members of civilized societies propagate their kind. No one has attended to the breeding of domestic animals will doubt that this might be highly injurious to the human race. Hardly anyone is so ignorant as to allow his worst animals to breed. Now, David, exactly what is he saying here?
What he is saying there is a superior man and there is an inferior man, and he's calling this savage in Africa a missing link is what he's doing. And as he calls this savage in Africa, this black man in Africa, as he calls him a missing link, he is saying that he doesn't deserve to live. That he has come up with a plan that we ought to do like what his theory suggests and eliminate all of the imperfect people according to him.
That's right. And you know, not only that, he is inferring that modern medicine has really caused the evolutionary process to be held back and to be altered. And so he says we are altering this evolutionary process by allowing the sick and the inferior to live. Well, I don't know about you, Dave, but that sounds a little Hitlerish, doesn't it?
Exactly. And if we really look at this very carefully, we're going to find that people like Hitler, they bought into this theory and bought into it whole hog. I mean, they didn't just buy into it as a theory. They put the theory into practice and they tried to make it a fact. when they were trying to develop the superior race. And that superior race, according to him, had to be white, had to be Caucasian, had to be so tall, had to be there had to be all of these different things that Hitler envisioned as a superior race. What we need to understand is that God created man. And without that, then you can throw everybody, every human being, in the same bucket with a goat. And if that human being does something or is something that doesn't meet your criteria, well, then you can just do away with that individual. But God created, and I want to read this passage, if you will, in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. And if we don't believe this, this is what we've come to, is something like Charles Darwin wrote. In verse number 7, says, "The Lord God formed man," Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, "The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." So the breath of God becomes the soul of man. And the soul of man is the breath of God. And right here we have the creation of mankind that has been separated from every animal on the face of this earth and linked to God, which is up above. Now, if we don't believe that, then we can ascribe to the very same theory that Darwin is throwing out here, that this savage is one of the missing links. Now, what really puzzles me here, Tommy, is that knowing what we've got here, and it doesn't take that much to get a hold of this information that we've got. All you got to do is go on the internet. It's free. It's available. Why would any black man or any black woman think that this man is a genius, that this man is a wise man, that this man has the answer as to where God or where this world came from, that it came through an accidental process of evolution, and believe in this guy when he's saying that the savages of Africa are the missing link? Yeah.
And you know, not only the black man, but also any right-thinking person.
Right.
You know, because it's just outlandish to have that kind of mentality. And then placing man alongside as animals as being equal and saying we're really no different than man. Well, you know, there's a passage there in Genesis chapter 2, beginning in verse 18. Remember that God created man, and man was alone in the garden, and God thought that he needed a helpmeet for him. Well, in Genesis chapter 2, beginning in verse 18, it says, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make a help meet or a help suitable, depending on your translation, for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them." And so you can just kind of picture in your mind these animals going before Adam, and he would name them. Here's the ostrich, here's the elephant, and name all these animals. And then in verse 20 it says, "And Adam gave names to all the cattle and all the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field." Now notice, "but for Adam there was not found a help meet for him." There was something that Adam realized here, that he was different from the animal kingdom. He was different from the world. From the animals of the world. And it's because of what you mentioned a moment ago, he has a living soul. And so there is a big difference between a human and an animal. And yet through this process that Darwin's speaking of, he's really saying there is no difference between human being and man because we're all simply a naked ape.
Well, even God points out right here in this passage that you just read, that man has got superior intelligence. If God had thought that the ape had superior intelligence to all of the other mammals, why didn't he get him to come up there and name all of those animals that he passed through? The fact of the matter is that he couldn't, but man can. And so not only do we have a soul, but we are created by God with superior intelligence. There is no inferior soul. And one cannot believe, if he believes in the Bible, one cannot believe that God created an inferior soul and then marked that soul as such with a color or with a different kind of a slant of his eye, or because he's poor or because he's crippled or because he's challenged. We are told in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 17 to honor all men. And that is because of that soul that that man has that links him with God.
Just to show you another proof of how much of a bigot that Darwin was, and how that any man who was a black man or a friend of a black man could fall into this belief of evolution is just beyond me. I'm quoting from his book here, The Descent of Man, on pages 162 and 163, and this is what he says. At some future period, not very distant as measured by centuries, the civilized race of man will almost certainly exterminate and replace the savage races throughout the world. Now, he's going to define what he means by the savage races in just a moment. He goes on to say, at the same time, the anthropomorphous apes, as one professor has remarked, will no doubt be exterminated. The break between man and his nearest allies will then be wider, for it will intervene between men, a man in a more civilized state, as we may hope. Even the Caucasian and some ape as low as a baboon, instead of as now between the Negro or Australian and the gorilla. You see what he's doing here is he's placing the Negro, as he calls them, the black man, the African American, as a part of the evolutionary process, almost as though he is the missing link, the inferior race. But we know that's not the case, because God created all men equal, and I'm a friend of all of men, of mankind.
Absolutely. And what's baffling is that people can't get their hands on this, or won't get their hands on this. Well, it gets back to how we started this program. Many, many people have not ever known of any other possibility except atheism. And accept evolution. Now, they won't say atheism when they say evolution, but that is exactly what we're talking about here, because when we talk about Darwin, we are talking about a humanist that makes up his own rules, and nobody tells him what to do. He can do whatever he feels he needs to do within the society. And so man is his own God, is basically is what he's saying here. Now, folks, if you want to get in on this conversation, the telephone number to call is 254-445-2473, or you can email us at keqx@rocketmail.com. We're going to have to take a break now, and we're going to come back on the other side of the break, and we're going to look at Charles Darwin, the humanist, and we're going to continue talking about this ridiculous subject that is force-fed to everyone's child who goes to a public school in the United States of America. See you on the other side of the break.
Amazing.
It takes 70 hours and 40 minutes to read the Bible, about 52 hours to read the Old Testament, and 18 hours to read the New Testament. At the rate of an hour a day, it takes a mere 2 months and 10 days to read the entire Bible. The Bible tells us of our origin, our purpose for being on this earth, and our eternal destiny. God's Word plainly, concisely, and boldly declares the desire of our Heavenly Father, what it takes for us to be saved. It also teaches us about heaven and its life on this earth, but informs us also that we must faithfully obey Him to be saved. We learn the way to heaven in the Holy Bible. Do you really have some better way to spend your time than in God's written word? The Park Hodge Church of Christ would like to welcome you to come and worship with us. We have Bible study for all ages each Sunday at 9:30 a.m. and our worship times are each Sunday at 10:25 a.m. and 6 p.m. We also have Bible study for all ages each Wednesday at 7 p.m. And at the Park Hodge Church of Christ, we stand in the old paths and speak the truth in love.
Someday when my last line is written.
Perhaps you've been on a path or road that leads to nowhere. Maybe you have been down that path, and perhaps you feel like you're on that path right now. But you don't have to be. We need to be walking on the old paths and the narrow way of Christ so as not to end up in a knothole of destruction, the path that leads to nowhere. Friends, make the level path of thy feet and let thy ways be established. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 26. Walk in the ways of righteousness in the midst of the paths of justice, and a highway shall be there, and a way it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for the redeemed, the wayfaring men. Yea, fools shall not err therein. I'm David Harris from the Hillcrest Church of Christ, and I invite you to worship with us every Sunday morning. Bible classes beginning at 9:30, worship services at 10:30, and midweek Bible classes at 7 p.m. Please make plans to attend and worship with us.
And welcome back to the Harrison Moore Expedition to the Bible. We're happy that you're with us this evening. We pray that if you have any questions or comments about our show tonight, please call us at 254-445-2473, or you can also email us at keqx@rocketmail.com. We've been talking about evolution, and just as we began to break, we were talking about Charles Darwin and his book, The Descent of Man, and how that this is a book that a lot of people have not heard of, have not read, because they are fearful of the repercussions that could come our way if the people who are of the minority race, as our world calls them today, were to get an idea of what he really taught and what he really believed and what he really says is associated with natural selection. And he began, talking about how that he believes the Negro race, as he calls them, are really an inferior race. And I have a great friend who's a black man, and this makes me mad. It makes me mad when he tries to degrade people who God has created in his own image and who are equal with us and who are just as special to us as anyone else is. And so he has simply gone way beyond what is rational, and we need to tell people about this kind of issue. Well, Charles Darwin is an atheist, but he is also a humanist. And a humanist is one who isn't an atheist, but he believes also that a humanist is one who believes that you are your own God. You believe what is right, and whatever you think about life is the way to go. Well, Darwin, as a humanist, believed that human only referred to white European counterparts. And so what's he saying? Well, he's saying that everyone else besides the white man is an inferior race. Well, that sounds almost like the skinheads of our day, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
And his teaching, along with other, so-called great European thinkers and philosophers, his teaching inspired men like, you probably heard of these men, Lenin, Hitler, Stalin, just to name a few. And the Darwinian philosophers also, with those of the 16th century philosophers, such as Rousseau and Marx, flavored, can be credited with, now get this, somewhere in the vicinity, with those who have this kind of idea that came from Darwin, 100 million dead folks as a result of this kind of mentality. It started with Darwin. It started with the theory of evolution and men like Hitler, who euthanized all of these millions of Jewish people. Well, it just came from this kind of mentality. Just how dumb and blind can people be?
Well, you know, Tommy, we have heard over the last several years about the ethnic cleansing that has taken place in several different parts of the world. Now, everybody's very familiar with the Holocaust and Hitler in those days. But then in Bosnia and over in that European part of the world, we have had an ethnic cleansing going on over there for years and years and years, just gone on unreported. And all of it has its basis in atheism and the belief in this evolution here. There's one more passage that I would like to read that came out of that book, The Descent of Mankind. Now, if anybody wants to call in and chip in on this, feel free to do so. The telephone number is 254-445-2473. It says here, quote, page 642 from The Descent of Mankind, quote, "For my own part," this is Darwin speaking, "I would as soon be descended from that heroic little monkey who braved his dreaded enemy in order to save the life of his keeper, or that old baboon who descended from the mountains, carried away in triumph his young comrade from a crowd of astonished dogs, as from a savage who delights in to torture his enemies, offers up bloody sacrifices, practices infanticide without remorse, treats his wives like slaves, knows no decency, and is haunted by the grossest superstitions." Now, we've already pointed out what he has called the savages. It is the black man. And here, what is ironic about this is he says that this man, the savage, knows no decency, when this man, Darwin, when he has come up here and implanted a theory in the mind of humanity that has no decency whatsoever and is backed up by racism and racist thoughts that are unparalleled to anyone else I have ever seen in print.
That's right. And it's just appalling to me, his mentality toward people of other races. And I cannot understand, other than because of ignorance and they're not wanting to allow this information to get out, that people could side behind such a horrible view of mankind. What does that recent poll of CNN tell us there, David?
Well, there is a recent poll, and this poll is just staggering. And what this poll tells me, Tommy, is the staggering effect of what our children have been taught now for several generations. And let's keep in mind this before we ever even dig into that poll. We are influenced,
yes,
by what we read, by what we hear, and by what we see. If we don't see it, if we don't read it, if we don't hear it, we're not influenced by it. But now here, evidently, this evolutionary theory being taught in our school system has tremendously influenced the American population. The CNN poll asked its audience, quote, "Do you think intelligent design," now that is creationism as is taught in the Bible, "do you think that intelligent design should be taught alongside with evolution in our schools?" And the results were 70% of everyone that was asked was against it. 70%. So with history as our guide and reference, it appears that America's intellectually elite people have it exactly backwards. They despise the very idea of God. However, they do not realize that once God is successfully extracted from society, the state will fill the void and will inevitably begin to murder the population in droves, just like Darwin's theory is here. Now, this gets us to that point that Darwin talked about, natural selection. But 70%, Tommy, that doesn't leave me. 7 out of 10 people believe that evolution alone should be taught. No other alternative, no other way out except just evolution. You got to believe it or else.
How dumb can you be?
That's pretty dumb.
I've got some oceanfront property in Arizona. I'd like to sell some of these folks. You know, the things we just said so far ought to be beyond, should show them beyond a shadow of a doubt that what they're looking at here is false. And when we talk about this natural selection that Darwin has set forth, well, natural selection, or sometimes called the survival of the fittest, is really the center of the evolutionary theory. This is really the basis of everything. Now, think about what we just talked about.
Mm-hmm.
If natural selection is the very basis of all the evolutionary theory and what we've already shown behind this thing, well, we ought to just be appalled at what this teaches. Dr. Hitchings said, Darwinism, as Darwin wrote it, could be simply but nonsensically stated, survivors survive. Darwin says that is the proof of evolution. Survivors survive. Well, there's a big word for that called tautology, or sometimes called a self-evident truth, a circular reasoning statement. It's a statement that really is empty of meaning in the context in which it is used. In other words, what does that prove?
It proves nothing.
That's exactly right. You know, it's empty as saying Darwin was a man. Well, so what? Or biology is studied by biologists. Well, what does that prove? You see, the trouble with natural selection or the survival of the fittest is that it seems, and not only seems, but I believe does, fall into this category. You see, natural selection, David, is nothing but circular reasoning. Those who survive, survive. Those who produce more offspring. The question that I have, David, is how in the world does that explain how one species evolved into another species?
It doesn't explain it at all. But I tell you what it does do. When you put it that way, when you put it natural selection, now, we want to get back. I want to take one step back as we talk about this natural selection. Because what Darwin is talking about is totally unnatural when he writes in his Bible, The Descent of Mankind, when he says in page 162, at some future period, not very distant, as measured by centuries, the civilized races of man will almost certainly exterminate and replace the savage races throughout the world. Now, is he calling that natural selection?
He is.
That is unnatural selection.
That's exactly right.
But even if that happened, like you just made a point, if the survivors survive, they're not going to change into something else. Man is still going to procreate man.
And if what he says is true, then over time, the only thing that will be left is the Caucasian race.
That's exactly what he's after.
That's exactly it. And we know that that's not true. That's just absurd. Well, the question that I have, David, is because we know it is so absurd and so ridiculous to believe in evolution, and we've already given a few proofs why it is, and we'll look at more as we can, but why in the world would anybody want to believe in evolution?
That I can't know. I just absolutely can't know, except for they do not want to be involved in any thinking that God created anything.
Right.
They do not want to believe in creation. This is the only option that they have. But my question is, why is this so important? Why is it important that we know this? It is important that we know this because we need to understand what our children are being taught in schools. There's not a one of us that haven't been taught this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And what this does is create tremendous doubt in the minds of an awful lot of people. I mean tremendous doubt, because now they are wondering, well, I've seen the pictures. It was in my history book. It's got to be true. Mrs. So-and-so taught it, and it's got to be true. She would not lie to me. And so we have all of this going on all at the same time, and it creates all of this terrible, terrible doubt in kids. They eventually, they've got to choose one or the other. If they have no background whatsoever, as we have said on this station many, many times, but God, the only way that you can know Jesus, the only way that you can know the Holy Spirit is through the Word of God. You can't have a feeling and know anything, because faith comes from knowledge, and that's the faith that we've got to have. That knowledge comes from the book.
And as in all things, especially with our young people, and sadly even as we become adults, become more mature, it is peer pressure that causes a lot of difficulty. Dr. Henry Morris said, the main reason, I think we've mentioned this before, the main reason most educated people believe in evolution is because they have been taught that most educated people believe in evolution. And so the idea is that if I don't believe in evolution, I must be a numbskull because all the smart people believe it. And so because of peer pressure and browbeating, a person just gives in to believe in this because, well, they're told all the smart people believe in it.
The only way to combat this is to teach our children what the Bible has to say. Let me just interject something here that the Holy Spirit through Paul, records for us in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 19. I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And he is calling this very thing that we are talking about here, this evolutionary theory, he's calling it foolishness. It will condemn your soul. If you believe in this, and you believe in it wholeheartedly, you've got to disbelieve in God.
Dr. Watson said, evolution is accepted by zoologists to be true, not because it has been observed to occur or can be proved by logical, coherent evidence to be true, but because the only alternative, special creation, is clearly incredible. And so, really, the only reason people believe in evolution is because they don't want to believe in God.
That's right. That is correct. Okay, I believe we've got a caller on the line. I would, caller, if you will, identify yourself with your first name and give your comment or your question, please.
Well, this is Les. I was curious. You said 70% want?
No.
Want it published or not?
70% do not want intelligent design to be taught alongside evolution in the schools.
Okay.
7 out of 10 people do not want intelligent design. They don't want the creation factual account of God creating the world. They do not want that taught as an alternative to this evolutionary theory.
Okay. That's pretty sad. The only other thing I'd say is it's my understanding at this point in time that we're not teaching about Hitler and the Holocaust in our schools either.
That's right.
Because I thought a minute ago you said that everybody knew about the Holocaust. Actually, they're not teaching it anymore.
You are very right, and I appreciate that correction because, when I was in school, of course, that's been several years ago. I'm 57 years old now.
Myself too.
when I was in high school, this was something that you saw. And as a matter of fact, if I'm not mistaken, Eisenhower instructed his troops to take pictures, more and more pictures of all of these people that were exterminated and that were starved to death and that were about to be starved to death so that the world would know, so that the world would never forget. President Eisenhower, at the time he wasn't president, he was General Eisenhower, and he wanted everybody to know about this so it would not forget. And now the world starting over in the Muslim nation, they want it to be kept quiet. They don't want anybody to know about the Holocaust and about the extermination of over, I don't know how many millions of Jews, but it was there were many of them. And I really do appreciate you pointing that out because I am not aware of that being taught in our school system anymore in our history books.
I don't believe it is. I've been told it's not. And people need to know, and that's exactly right. That's what General Eisenhower did, was take pictures and said, we cannot ever let people forget this.
Well, that is a very good point. I'm so glad you brought that up because in addition to the teaching of this evolution, which procreates atheism, this is all that these children are going to hear. They're not going to hear the other side. This is the only option that they have, and because of that, this theory now becomes fact in their mind because it's all they ever hear.
And my grandchildren are that way.
That's a shame.
You know, and I think a reason why they don't want this to be taught is because we've already shown the connection between the evolutionary idea, the survival fittest, and evolution and in the Holocaust. There's a connection there, and they don't want that connection to be seen. And so they're going and rewriting our history books and taking out many things that our children need to know.
Wes, that's a very good call. I appreciate so much you pointing out the fact that that is not being taught in our school system today. Appreciate you listening and appreciate your call.
You got anything else you want to say?
I appreciate you guys, what you're doing.
Well, thank you very much. We love what we do.
All right. Thank you.
All right, Tommy, we are getting close to the end of this. I don't know that we can even come close to completing everything that we intended to bring up today. But I would like to point out a few things about what Darwin is trying to do and what his theory of evolution is trying to do. Fossils, and nobody has a problem with fossils. Fossils actually tell the truth about things. And fossils are found in the ground, and throughout the 1900s, scientists continually studied the fossil records to try to determine if the theory of evolution was really the fact of evolution. If the theory of evolution were a fact, then the fossil records would clearly show the gradual transformations over long periods of time that Darwin spoke of. But despite those intensive researches for over 150 years since this theory of evolution was proposed, there have been absolutely no instances of a transitional form found in the fossil records. Now, what the fossil records do show is that each life form suddenly appearing full-blown without any apparent relationship to what went on before it. Now, that's what the fossils show. Fossils don't lie. I mean, their own evidence is disproving what they're trying to hold up as true.
And in that regard, notice what Dr. LaGrosse Clark says about the significance of the fossil record. He says that evolution actually did occur, can only be scientifically established by the discovery of the fossilized remains of representative samples of those intermediate types which have been postulated on the basis of indirect evidence. In other words, the really crucial evidence for evolution must be provided by the paleontologist whose business it is to study the evidence of the fossil record. Well, David, if evolution is true, you would expect to find a lot of the transitional animals throughout time, wouldn't you?
No doubt. No doubt. I mean, we have had billions of dollars spent on trying to find these things, and they're just not out there. I believe we have another caller on the line. Caller, would you give us your first name and your question or your comment, please?
This is Skylar, and I was just wondering, did I hear y'all correctly about saying that the Holocaust is not taught in schools anymore?
Well, that's what we understand. Is that true? Are you a high school student?
Yes.
Oh, well, good. Well, tell us about what you have learned about the Holocaust.
We're learning about it right now, and I'm hearing so much about, like, 6 million people died and everything, and what actually happened there, and it's just really upsetting hearing all that.
Well,
they're making us watch movies about it and everything.
Are you reading this in your textbooks, or are these additional textbooks that have been, additional books that have been assigned by your teachers?
They're books that have been assigned by my teacher, but apparently the books are written from people who survived the Holocaust.
Okay, but are these actual textbooks that are issued from our school?
No.
Okay, so you've got a marvelous teacher that has taken it upon himself or herself to teach the truth that has been disregarded in your textbook. Is that correct? Am I understanding you right?
Yes.
Well, great.
So we need to clarify a little bit. You know, some of the teachers may be teaching about the Holocaust, But in our history books, the new history books, they're trying to leave out that Holocaust. But thank goodness for teachers who want to remind us of the just the absurd things that took place. And again, as we mentioned, connected with the evolutionary thought.
Well, listen, we are flattered that a high school student is listening to the show. We are thankful that you are, and we really, really do appreciate your call. I'm glad. I am so glad that you have a teacher that took it on him or herself to assign some reading that would show you the truth about this extermination of a people, of a race of people, and you're so fortunate to be in a school system that would allow that. Are you from the Stephenville area?
Yes.
And go to school at Stephenville?
Yes.
Well, you are blessed to do so.
Do you have any other questions or comments?
No, I just wanted to say that she tells us every day that she does not want us to forget about the Holocaust, and that she wants us to remember everything that happened.
That's good.
Well, you be sure and tell her thank you very much, because you are a privileged student.
Okay, I will.
Okay, and thank you so much. Thank you so much for calling in, Skyler.
You're welcome.
Well, folks, it's just about time to wind this up, and we may just have to come back next week, Tommy, and finish up where we've got so much information here that we would love to share. And for all of you out there that have high school students in your family, we would encourage you to tell them to call, to listen and call in and let us know, as did Skyler, what's going on in the school system. Because we know what the truth is, we know what the Bible is taught, and that is exactly what we're here for. You've heard what men have had to say, and that's what we're telling you today. And now let's hear what the Bible has got to say about the creation of the world, the universe, and mankind. Tommy, I'm going to turn it over to you, and I would like to say to the listening audience, thank you for listening, and God bless America.
Remember that next week we're going to continue this thought on evolution, and we're going to talk about some of the so-called proofs of evolution, vestigial organs and whatnot, but just remind you that we always need to be like those Bereans who search the Scriptures daily, and we hope that you will do that. And we pray that God would bless you till the next time we gather together.